Mark chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 20, and this morning our focus will be on verses 15, 16, and 17. And again he began to teach along the sea, and a large multitude was gathered to him, so that he embarked or got into a boat and sat or was sitting in the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing toward the sea. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen or hear. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it came to pass that while he was sowing, that some seed fell along the roadside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, that is, rock bed, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, that is 30 times more than the original seed, some 60 times more, and some 100 times more than the original seed. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, that is outside of Christ, all things come in parables, so that the fulfillment of Isaiah 6:9, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the roadside where the word is sown, that when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a short time, or more literally in Greek, they endure only for a short-lived time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they stumble or are offended. Now these are the ones sown amongst thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in. When they enter in, they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, they receive it, and they bear fruit, some 30 times more, some 60 times more, and some 100 times more." Well, last week we gave you the introduction. We took you in verses 1 through 14. As we studied three things with the parable, the purpose for parables, and the perception of the parables. Jesus gave the parable in verses 1 through 9. He gave the purpose for parables in verses 10 through 12. And then beginning at verse 13, going through verse 20, the perception of the parable, or the understanding or meaning of the parable. The parable of the sowers. He says in verse 13 that if you understand this parable, this is how you will understand all parables. All the parables of Jesus are based on the parable of the sower. And as I said to you last week, there are many and various interpretations of the parables and teachings of Jesus, but it's all by man's devisement. If you go by the parable of the sower, all of the parables become very simple in their understanding and message, because they all have the same message. But Jesus gave the parable of the sower. The whole point of it is in verse 3 and verse 9. He starts out in verse 3 by saying, "Listen," or literally, "hear." Look at verse 9. "The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." This parable is all about hearing and listening to the word. Verse 15 says, "These are the ones along the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, certain things happen." Verse 16, These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, something happens. Verse 18, these are the ones sown amongst the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And then again, verse 20, these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word. In all four cases, the word is heard. And there are four different things that happen. Notice this is to his disciples, telling them not only the understanding of how the Lord works, but also to give them understanding because as they are sent out to give the word, there are four different responses to the word of God. Only 25% or one out of every four that hears is going to respond and receive Christ and be saved. There are three other responses. There are three other kinds or types of soil or hearts that when they hear the word, there's a type of soil that's whatever's in the soil is going to choke out the influence of God's word ministering to those people's hearts. And this is also, as a side note, what this parable also tells us is that in our compact categorizing of salvation, people who are saved and people who are not, I can tell you we do not understand salvation. We understand that a person needs to receive Christ to be saved, that it is Jesus who saves us, that He sends His Spirit in, and that is what saves us. It isn't a religious belief. But exactly who is saved and who isn't? According to the Lord's parable, people can be involved with the Word of God, actually participating with the ministry of the Holy Spirit to their hearts and still not be saved. Because in final response, that when they're challenged, when tribulations and persecutions arise, they leave. And it isn't that they lost their salvation. It's that they were never saved to begin with. And in our own understanding, we try to categorize people. We try to say, well, you know, the person walked up the aisle and prayed the sinner's prayer and signed the decision card and was baptized. They're saved. It's not what the Bible says. Paul says in Romans 8, if a person does not have the Spirit of Christ living in them, they don't belong to Christ. It doesn't matter what they believe. That isn't what saves people. It's the presence of Christ. His Spirit coming into their life is the very function of being saved. It is not a religious ceremony or belief. The coming of Christ's Spirit into a person's life is what saves them. Therefore, His presence in their life is what the Bible teaches, both in Paul's writings and John's writings, that is what makes a person belong to Christ. The presence of Christ in their life, in the person of the Holy Spirit. So he gave the parable. It's a parable of listening. We're dealing with three things: the sower, the seed, and the soil. He says in verse 14... that the sower sows the word. So the seed is the word of God. Wherever you see seed, it's the word of God. Mark does not tell us who the sower is because he seems to take it for granted that we're going to know that. But Matthew chapter 13, in the words of Jesus, Jesus says the Son of Man is the sower. Jesus is the sower. Jesus sows the seed of His word into people's hearts. And the soil are four kinds of hearts that hear and respond. There are four different responses to the exact same Word of God. Now, this is something I told you last week. It's just it's a fuzzy area. God hasn't revealed to us everything. We know in Hebrews 4:12 that His Word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And even cuts down to be a critic and a discerner of the thoughts and motives of a person's heart. But He doesn't overpower people with His Word and save them against their free will. What we're actually studying here are heart responses of the free will of man. The same message and the same ministry of God's Spirit can save somebody, and at the same time, on the other side of the room, a totally different kind of person hearing the same message and sitting in the same ministry can reject it and say it's just a bunch of baloney. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save those who belong to Him. It's foolish. Get up and preach the Word. There's going to be four different kinds of responses. Only 25% or one out of every four that are participating. Please notice, all four of these people are participating in listening to the Word of God. It doesn't say they're witnessed to. In fact, I'll point out to you as we go through, these are people who continually participate in listening to the Word of God. Four different kinds of responses. Today, two of them. Verse 15. These are the ones along the roadside where the word is sown, that when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Notice, it was sown in their hearts. You would say, well, this person's saved. Can you have the Word of God in your heart and not be saved? This is the hard-packed soil. Remember, Jesus said that there are four kinds of soil. And this is that hard-packed, trampled down, as Luke said, trampled down part of the ground right alongside of the road. You know, in our days, it would be where all the cars, the shoulder of the road, where the cars pull over and people walk. And so the ground is so hard-packed that if you did spread seed on that part, it would never penetrate. Anybody that knows anything about planting seed and gardening knows that you have to loosen up the soil because the seeds have to penetrate into the ground. And yet here's the seed sitting on top of the hard-packed ground alongside of the road. These are people who are hearing the Word. And when they hear the Word, the seed just sits there. There's no penetration. Yet the text says it's still in their heart. The seed, even if it's sitting on the surface, it's still in their hearts. It is having an influence on their hearts. The heart is just sitting there. But he says the birds come. Remember the parable. Birds came and devoured the seed. Now he says, immediately Satan comes and removes the seed that was planted or sown in their hearts. So the birds, if you read parables, the birds represent Satan. We'll see that later on in some parables. So Satan comes, and the whole message here is that a person can continually hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the ministry of His Word. And if there is no response, Satan comes and takes the influence of the Word of God away from that person's life. What Jesus is teaching here is that just listening, audibly listening to verbal communication, or listening to truth from the Bible, if it is not responded to and acted upon, will just sit there and its influence will be removed by Satan. In fact, that person's heart might even grow harder. So the message is, it's not just sitting and listening. It must be acted upon. James says in James 1:22, in fact, he starts in verse 21 by saying, with meekness receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so what he's saying here is that when you hear the word of God, you must respond. Not earn it, not work for it, but if the Holy Spirit is taking God's truth and speaking to your heart, there must be a response from your heart and from your free will process to receive what God is saying, not accept. I want to point out to you, because you know me, I'm a real stickler on the kinds of words that people use, and I think, and we're all guilty, I believe, of using the wrong words. It presents the wrong connotation. In the English, it talks about accepting Christ, or we talk about accepting the Lord, not receiving the Lord. The word acceptance means to intellectually agree with somebody. It never says to accept the Lord. It says receive the Lord as something different. In James, again, in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, if you believe that there is one God, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. Do you know that Satan believes the truth? You know that whenever he hears the gospel, he says, that's right, that's the truth. Do you know that Satan accepts the truth about Jesus Christ? He intellectually or mentally agrees that this is the truth. but he's out to destroy the truth. Demons believe and they tremble. We've seen it many times so far in the Gospels that when Jesus entered into a room and there was a man there demon-possessed, the demons confessed who Jesus was. It was the proper confession. The Lord said, be quiet. There's even one gal who was a fortune teller that followed Paul around in a city. And she says, everybody, gather around. Come and hear the men that God has sent to show us the way of salvation. He said, be quiet. He got so tired of her following him around, and he knew it was a demon and not the Holy Spirit, that he turned around and cast the demon out of the woman. We might have been taken in by it. We might have said, hey, she's speaking the truth. She's gathering people to hear Paul preach, right? She wasn't speaking against it. She was promoting him. And Paul was irritated. The Lord will not receive true confession from demons, even if it's truth, you see. So Satan accepts the truth about what this book says. And there are people today who think that they're saved just because they agree with the Bible. Yeah, I believe that. You must respond. You must receive Christ into your heart. You must be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. Because we deceive ourselves by agreeing with what we hear, but we don't do it. That person is the person who hears the word. And because of a lack of response and obedience, Satan comes and removes the influence of God's word from that person's heart. Now, this answers the question in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, in fact, I'll turn to it because it's important. Hebrews chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews was talking about renewing those who have fallen away. And people have been perplexed over this text, and the reason it is because we do not understand what salvation is. In Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, up to in verses 1 through 5, the writer of Hebrews has been talking about moving on and maturing in the gospel if God permits. But it says in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, it is impossible if they fall away to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. Now there are some people say, see, you can receive Christ, and then later on if you fall away from Christ, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, and they've lost their salvation. And again, it's because we don't understand. It uses the word enlighten, which literally means God has, by His Spirit, enabled them to understand the truth about what's being said of the Bible. To be enlightened means to be illuminated. Spiritually, they're able to understand. It also says that they have partaken of the Holy Spirit. They have tasted the heavenly gift. And they have also tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. So you say, well, that person's saved. No, it is not. A person can sit under and experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit to their hearts and partake of the word and partake of the Holy Spirit and be enlightened and still not receive Christ. They must respond to the enlightenment, you see. In the book of Hebrews is talking about Jews who came and were enlightened about the truth that Jesus Christ is Messiah. But according to chapter 10, when persecution came, they fell away. They said, I want to go back into old Judaism, because by receiving Jesus Christ as our Messiah, you get persecuted. You know what they would do? They'd go to prison and visit other Christians. And they'd come home and all their belongings in their house were gone. Stolen. Neighborhood didn't want them anymore. The town, the city didn't want them anymore. So they said, is this worth it? So he says, if you go back into old Judaism, the old system, and you reject Christ after you've been enlightened to the truth of who He is, it'll be impossible to renew you back again, because you've already said, I've tried that. I've heard it. I've heard it and I've rejected it, and I'm not going back to it. According to this text, the heart that rejects is the person that cannot be renewed again. See? It is very important to see that when we get to the fourth kind of soil, that'll be next week, so don't get nervous. We're only taking two. But the fourth kind of soil is the person who has responded to the Word of God. Not just intellectually believed it or religiously believed it. It's a person who has received it and is continually doing what God's Word says. But please take note, a person can be actively involved in hearing the Word of God and receiving from the ministry of the Holy Spirit the powers which are to come and the Word of God and be enlightened with all that and then eventually just reject it. It doesn't mean that they lost their salvation, you see. We think that you can't participate with God's Word and God's Spirit unless you're saved. That is not true. Because how can a person understand the gospel unless the Holy Spirit is illuminating their heart, and by illumination they have to be participating with the Holy Spirit. They have to taste of the heavenly gift. It's God's way of saying, I'm going to open up your understanding to the truth about Christ. Here's a taste. How's it taste? That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Right. These are taste testers. You know? You need to go down these back roads and you see winery taste testing, stop in. Doesn't mean that they bought the bottle. It means they took a taste, you know. So people can taste. You have to participate with the Lord. You're just not stone dead and then all of a sudden you're born again. God's Spirit has to be working with your heart and you have to be responding. So you have to be partaking of the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't mean you're saved. Secondly, verses 16 and 17, these likewise are the ones sown upon stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a short time. Literally, they're short-lived. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they stumble. Here's the second kind of soil. They believe everything they've heard. And they receive it with joy. They're all excited. The first thing this thing tells us is, don't be taken in by the outward expression of people, especially when it's right away, you know, supposedly they've received the Lord, they're all excited, and everything that you see is on the outward appearance. The text says they have no root in themselves. They are on stony ground. That is to say, there's a thin layer of dirt on top of their heart, and underneath is nothing but rock bed. You don't really know who this person is yet until the Word of God starts taking root. If it cannot take root, that person has a stone heart. They're not receptive to God's Word at all. And they receive it with joy. That's not a man and his wife, you know, receiving the Word of God at the same time. You know, Fred and Joy. They're excited. They're enthused. You have to tie them with a rope and, you know, pull them down like a helium balloon. You got to pull them down off the ceiling. They're so excited about the things of God. But they have no root. See, it's not what you can see that counts. It's what we can't see. What is going to take me into a personal relationship with Christ and help me through this earthly life? It's my life rooted and grounded in Christ. It's the root system, not the top. Anybody that knows anything about gardening, you know that you can have a beautiful tree or a beautiful plant, a beautiful anything that looks beautiful on the outside. If the root system is not there, what happens when the first storm comes up? Phew, over it goes. Well, that was a beautiful tree. Didn't last very long. Didn't have a root system. So it's being rooted and grounded in Christ. It's the stability that comes in Christ. That's what counts. Sometimes it's the people who are the quietest that you think, gee, that person doesn't show much life at all. No, but if they're stable and faithful and consistent, then they have root. It's the long root system under the ground that counts. It's not what you see on the surface. So it's not the experiences that count. It's not how many experiences you have or whether you have a bright smile on your face or whether you're excited and jumping around. That's not any evidence of God's Spirit. Certainly in the flesh, and certainly Jesus showed both weeping and joy at times in the human. But that is not a connotation of being rooted and grounded in Christ. The text says, but when tribulation and persecution arise, notice this, on account of the Word of God. The Bible teaches that a person really isn't who they think they are or who they say they are until they have been challenged. They suffer persecution and tribulation on account of their response to God's Word. The last few weeks, both in our study in Romans and our study in 1 Corinthians, as well as our study in the Gospel, I've been emphasizing this word that God's been implanting upon my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says there must be divisions in the church in order that those who are approved of God might be made manifest. The word approved means to approve after testing. What God is saying is you can have 100 people who profess to know Christ. But God says the genuineness of a person's confession is shown through tribulation and suffering. It's one thing to believe the truth of God's Word and be obedient to God's Word as long as everything works out okay, as long as everybody cooperates and everybody agrees and everybody's happy. What happens when people start opposing you? What happens if your best friends, the members of your household, the people that you work with, whatever the case may be, start opposing you because you're obedient to God's Word and they're not? Then what are you going to do? Say, well, I'll back off a little bit. Maybe I'm being a fanatic. You know, that's what Jesus asked people to be. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That sounds like a fanatic to me. It sounds like all of me, all the time. It's not until persecution and suffering arises, not just in general, but on account of the Word. It says, immediately they are offended. And if you go back into the story of the parable, this is the seed planted in the ground that did not have much earth, and there's a rock bed foundation underneath, and immediately it springs up. I mean, it sprouts up faster than everybody else does. But there's no root in themselves. And it says, because they have no root, that when the sun rises up, it scorches it. It's like saying who we really are is when we're being scorched, you know, when the heat's on. It shows us where we are in Christ. It's a manifestation to everyone else, too, who we are in Christ. When persecution arises on account of the Word, what do? It says immediately they're offended. They are offended that they have to suffer for Christ. You mean I have to suffer for all of this? You see, it's no longer with joy. Now it's getting down to nitty-gritty faith. There's no excitement. And they stumble over it. They say, well, I'm not going to follow Christ anymore. And they leave. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that even though we are being kept by the power of God until our salvation, for this temporary time period, through much grief, we suffer through various trials in order that the genuineness of our faith might be tested. Same word. God's putting us to a test to refine and develop our faith. If a person doesn't know Christ, as soon as they're tested, they're gone. Phew, out of here. But it's not because of church. It's not because of anything else other than the Word of God. They're offended at the Word, at suffering at the Word of God. If they can't get excited over it, I don't want anything to do with it. It used to make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel good anymore. They have no root in themselves. They're immediately offended and they leave. That's why I say we need to take heart. We need to receive everybody that comes along and confesses Christ. But it's like they haven't been tested, haven't been approved. What happens when this brother or sister is challenged? What happens when you have to stand alone and be obedient, though everybody's against you and everything is against you? Then what do? That's who we really are. It's not when everything's going good. Just to finish up, if you'll turn with me back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 at verse 24. These are the words of Jesus. Exactly what we're talking about. The parable of the sower is nothing new. It's in every teaching and every message of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them. Notice this, there's a response. It's not just hearing. There's no blessing in hearing. There's a blessing in doing. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken that man to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon or against that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Basically, what he was saying is, everybody who hears my words and does them, you will be building your house upon the rock, and when the storms come and beat up against your house, it won't fall. But the person who hears these words of mine, it isn't the person who does not hear. That person's totally gone. He's talking about people who continually are hearing but are not doing the Word of God. They are not responding to the truth of what God's Word says. To that person, they are in the process of building their life upon the sand. The storms are coming. I don't have to tell you that. Storms come to everybody. Some people stand and some people don't. Jesus said it's all in relation to how you respond to and stand upon and are obedient to the Word of God. You're actually building the foundation for your life. Storms will come. It will not make you immune to the storms, but it will dictate how you pass through them and how you finish on the other side. And in direct relation, he's talking about the judgment. If people receive Christ, they're basing their life and their salvation on Christ. If not, they're going to fall. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we read to you last week, Paul says, once you have laid the foundation in Christ, take heed how you build. Some build with wood, hay, and stubble. That's experiences. That's false. That's religion. Other people build with gold, silver, and precious stones. And that's the development of Christ, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So everybody who believes makes a choice as to how they want to build that house and build that relationship. It's either going to be built out of cardboard and paper, and later in that chapter Paul says, and when we pass through the fire, there will be a judgment of fire for believers. It will not be the fires of hell. It'll be a fire of judgment that's going to burn up everything that's not of Christ. All the wood, hay, and stubble is going to go. All the religious stuff is going to go. Burn. And everything done of Christ will last, and that will be our reward throughout eternity. How important it is, and how we miss. All the way up to this point, people have been listening to the words of Jesus, and they've been either receiving or rejecting what he had to say. Not just intellectually, but literally, when Jesus said, follow after me, people just said, no, wait a minute now. I'll go as far as to believe that what you're saying is the Word of God, but to follow after you, I can't do that. I got too many other things to do, and I got too much going for me. Jesus said, you can't be my disciple. He did not call religious people or call people to be religious. He called people to follow after him and to be his disciple. And whatever we do, we are to follow him in it. And there are some people that received that, and there are some people that rejected it. Yet there were some religious people, very religious people, who rejected Christ, just like today. who are continually participating with the Word, but they're not doing them. They're not responding. God's enlightening them, illuminating their understanding. They're participating with the Holy Spirit. They're participating with the Word of God. They're participating with the spirit world and the powers which are to come. They're tasting. God's allowing them to. But they're not responding. It gives us understanding as how God works, how the Son of Man sows the Word. How we are not to be discouraged because people's hearts are responding. It could be somebody could show up to this church or to this fellowship and stay here for a month or 6 months or a year or 2 years until we take a piece of scripture that they just don't want to hear or don't want to agree with. All of a sudden it's just manifested. They're challenged. Somebody can sit here for 6 months to a year and receive everything that's being said and not be challenged. As soon as they're challenged, they begin to think twice about it. I don't know if I want to have to go through this hardship or not. That's why we ought to encourage one another and receive one another. But at the same time, if a person has not been challenged to what they believe to be and know to be the Word of God, if they make that commitment to follow what Christ wants them to do, you've got to stand back and let them be approved. Let them be challenged. There will be persecution and tribulation on account of the Word. And if they have no root in themselves, see, the Word can be there and there's no root. That means they're not saved. And when they're offended, they leave on account of the Word. So in the last days, it's going to be hard to find places that are in the Word. People do not want to hear the Word. It's because you have to suffer for it. There are people who get offended at hearing the Word, who profess to be Christians. And it helps us to understand our own hearts. What is God doing with me? He wants my heart. He wants my heart response. Not just agreement. But He wants to have fellowship. He wants obedience from the heart. He wants me to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. To be actively, literally following my Lord and Savior. Serving Him. As Paul says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that this is Your Word and we're not the ones doing the sowing, but You are. And it's not the ministry of a book, but the truth of Your Word of God that Your Spirit is ministering to our hearts. Give us understanding. Help us to understand in wisdom not to take ourselves nor others at surface value. To receive one another, yes, but not to make conclusions that later on we'll be confused about. As we do not know who people are, and it is not our position to make judgment. Allow people the room to be challenged, to suffer the persecutions and hardships it takes for making their commitment to Christ. Let people be approved or disapproved, not by us, but by You. And Lord, may we be found faithful. As Your rewards of responsibility and entrustment comes to those who are faithful, in the midst of the persecutions, in the midst of the hard times, we keep doing the same thing. We keep being obedient to You no matter what. The blessing of joy and protection and help and ministry and fullness of satisfaction is just cannot be even expressed. We're so thankful. So thankful for Your Word and Your faithfulness to us. May we grasp that much more understanding because of this time in Your Word today. May we make those decisions in response to the truth of Your Word and be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. May we hear the words and do them, and may our house be built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.